What comes to mind when you imagine 1930s Australia? The construction of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, Saturday afternoon at the talkies, gum nuts, hats and crackling wireless. Did it maybe sound something like this?
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody.
Yes, it was the golden age of radio, and they don't make it like that anymore. It was a time of technological advancement, of optimism, of excitement, and of the miseries of the Great Depression. A time of contrasts. Robin Groh is president of the Art Deco and Modernism Society of Australia. Now, he's going to be presenting a tour of Melbourne's historic Art Deco buildings. That's part of a National Gallery of Victoria Brave New World exhibition. That's on now. Robin, welcome.
Good morning.
Contrast is the thing, isn't it? Things are going hammer and tongs, and yet people are miserable.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary period with that contrast. In the middle of a depression, you had all of this work going on. In Melbourne, it was largely hinged around the 1934 centenary of Melbourne. So that's when a lot of capital was freed up for all of these new works. Sydney, of course, was anchored by the development of the bridge.
They've got a bridge going on there.
Yes. And there's an extraordinary newsreel at the exhibition that shows the construction of the bridge.
Art Deco, I guess, I mean, that's not a thing specific, of course, to Melbourne in terms of influence on buildings.
No, it's an international movement, if you like, a spirit. It's hard to pin down. Don't ask me for a definition.
Well, what was it encapsulating? Because it's...
Okay. It was encapsulating changes to anything that had an element of design in it. So it was architecture, dance, photography, art, all of those sorts of things got reworked and re-looked at in the 30s. Mm. And as well as that, it was also changes to construction techniques in large cities, which enabled tall buildings, of course, and the skyscrapers in New York are the best example of that. But a lot of it was around a commercial aspect. People built these buildings to make money out of them. Mm. That's something that I'm... Form follows finance is my mantra.
Yes. Okay. I mean, the look of Australian cities, the feel of our cities, this is a moment that transformed them.
That's right. And one of the aspects of that was colour. All of a sudden in Melbourne, we moved from a drab, grey city to a vibrant coloured city. I mean, you only have to go down to Bourke Street and see the dazzling white snow creed of Myers and the pink of the Coles building over the road, and then the black of David Jones. And it was all designed to bring the shoppers in, of course.
How did people respond? That would be such a confronting change for some.
For some it was, but most people just embraced it because the attitude of the retailers was that people won't go into a drab place to buy new stuff. So therefore, even if I don't like it myself, we need to make it as colourful and as up-to-date and as modern as possible. So that's what they did.
Did it work?
Well, it did. I mean, you look at the... you look at the shopping centre in Bourke Street, and you look at George Street in Sydney. They traded very, very well, and they're still trading very, very well.
Now, for a little interlude here, and one of the features of this period, we've talked about radio, and that's a look at it's a part. An item where some of this styling sort of came to the fore. On the tabletop in homes all over the country, the Bakelite wireless. Now, Peter Sheridan, as an author, historian, he is the owner of what is considered to be one of the world's leading collections of Art Deco radios, and he's joining us on the line from Tel Aviv. Peter, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Delighted. Now, you sound like you're coming through on the speaking type wireless as we speak.
Well, on a modern version thereof.
Where did this penchant come from?
Look, it was purely by accident. I was in London many years ago and in a little shop that specialised in Bakelite bits and pieces. And I saw two radios, one Australian and one American. And I thought, gee, they're beautiful and beautifully designed. And I thought, I'll buy a couple of those and maybe buy a couple every now and again. And, 20 years later, I have 300 of them.
Okay. Right. Where are they stored, Peter? I'm intrigued. 300 radios.
Well, most of them are displayed in my home. My wife is our curator. She's the she can make an obsession look like a noble quest.
Do they work? I mean, valves can be a hard thing to come by.
It's not what is important to me, and there are many reasons why people collect radios. But for me, it's the shape of the cabinet, the style, and the design, and the interesting nexus between radio and Art Deco and radio and modern communication, and all of that sort of comes to the fore around this Brave New World exhibition, because it sort of encapsulates what radio did for the world.
Before we leave you, just for the sake of the young people listening, tell us what Bakelite is.
Bakelite was the first synthetic plastic until the early part, 1907, all plastics basically had some sort of organic material in them, and that made them rather fragile and also generally rather flammable. And this guy, Beekman, came up with an oil and coal product called Bakelite, which was completely inflammable. So suddenly this material was useful for all sorts of electrical works like switches and light patterns and so forth.
Yes.
But after a while they realised they could put coloured fillers in them and produce items of pretty well any size. And in 1930 you started to see this extraordinary new design with the tabletop radio in all sorts of shapes and colours, and that's what and Australia was wonderful because only two countries had coloured radios in the 30s and 40s, and that's Australia and the USA.
Peter, thank you so much. Peter Sheridan, the collector of 300 of these beautiful old Bakelite tabletop radios, coming to us there via the shortwave from Tel Aviv. We're also joined by Robert Groh. He's president of the Art Deco Modernism Society. We're talking about a wonderful exhibition, Brave New World, at the NGV, and Peter's taking tours of Melbourne's historic Art Deco buildings as part of that. Sorry, Robin is. And Robin, what Peter says there about the radio, it's a place where a lot of the things of this moment come together, technology,
right.
Design.
Yes. It revolutionised the way families gathered together around the radio. And it also emphasised the role of electricity, which is enormously popular. Enormously powerful in the 1930s in introducing a lot of the changes to society.
It's hard to imagine that world where these things, which are so much just the inconsequential background of our lives now, were revolutionary.
Yeah, and then you had architects who started redesigning their houses and flats to make sure that the people who occupied them had everything that they needed for a modern life. And that meant lots and lots of PowerPoints and lots of telephone connections.
Not in houses, but streamlining as well.
That's right, yes. Well, there was lots of streamlining in houses as well, yeah.
Well, describe that as a thing, because that's just a word we use. What does it mean?
Streamlining generally means lack of ornamentation on buildings. And so instead of gargoyles and all those things from the Edwardian period,
yes.
You would just have three lines, inside lines, speed lines, or speed whiskers, as we sometimes call them.
It's all about the speed. It's all about the machine. It's all about this new modern age.
It was the age of speed, and you're quite right. And one of the important areas of that is aviation, because the aviators of the day were the rock stars, the film stars that we have today. And they're enormously popular.
What's your favourite Art Deco building?
Probably, I love the Chrysler Building in New York. In Melbourne, I love McPherson's up in Collins Street, and a little what's known as urban jewellery called El Kira House at the bottom of Queen
and
Street.
And they'll be on your tour, I imagine.
El Kira House is a little bit out of the way.
Okay.
I'd love to take people to the Chrysler Building, but we can't fit that in.
Sadly.
but we will see some wonderful, wonderful buildings.
And in Sydney?
Sydney, I love the AWA House, and there's a few others in Sydney, in Martin Place, that are really wonderful as well.
And it's still a period which, you know, has great attraction and appeal, is resonant for many people, and is such a collectible kind of period.
That's right. The good thing for us is it appeals to young people because, you know, they go into these flats from the era and they're quite large compared to some of the small things that are being built today. And there's a simplicity and an elegance in the design that appeals to people of all ages.
Extraordinary time. Robin Grove, he's president of the Art Deco and Modernism Society of Australia. That's why he's enthusiastic about Art Deco. Now, Robin's going to be presenting the tour of which we speak, of Melbourne's historic Art Deco buildings. It's on 24th of September. Now, that's part of the National Gallery of Victoria's Brave New World exhibition. Peter Sheridan, we spoke to on the shortwave from Tel Aviv. His radios, or some of the 300 that he has amassed around his residence, they'll be on display at the National Gallery of Victoria. Check that out, ngv.vic.gov.au. Robin, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
This is Blueprint for Living. I'm Jonathan Green.